Hello and welcome back to the Goat Cave Podcast. Today we have a very, very special episode. Not only are we going to be speaking with one of my favorite riders from New York City, who is always putting out wild clips on Instagram pretty much every day, but we also have the owner of one of the most beloved companies in BMX that has been pushing street riding on the East Coast scene for over 20 years. I am stoked to be sitting down with Martin, aka The Shift Life, and Ralph from Animal BMX. Boys, how are you? Thank you so much for doing this.
Hey, what up, Cam? Thank you. Good to be here.
Martin, how are you, man?
I'm great. I'm good.
Hell
thanks
yeah.
Thanks for having me and Ralph.
Absolutely.
I'm just sitting here drinking a Sprite.
I love it. That's awesome. So typically the way we start the show is we go all the way back to when you guys first started riding. So Martin, let's start out with you. When did you get into riding?
Well, before anything, I used to skateboard a lot, and that was like a big thing for me. I always wanted to go really far with skating, but then where I went to school from kindergarten through eighth grade was Schuyler School, and I used to see Bob and George DeSantos all the time riding that spot together as a kid, so they really influenced me hard to get into riding.
Dude, that is wild. Especially somebody like Bob, you know, that like is nuts. And Ralph, for you, I know that you were riding, you know, years ago. There's footage of you from like 1987 riding in front of, like, I believe it was your house. It was a props bio, I think it was.
Yeah, no, that was good years. I remember with you know, I started riding a few years before that, and then that stuff was when I really got into the freestyle part of it, which was, you know, having a bike with pegs and brakes instead of just a racing bike, and those were really good years, but it was always, you know, it was still always jumping down steps and you know, looking for banks and stuff like that the whole time too. And then, I started, you know, a little before that, in the mid 80s, and, it was just, you know, the dopest thing ever. And I just was hooked from the first time. I remember the first couple of times seeing it, and, just kept going with it. And it was really all I wanted to do from there on out, for sure.
That is sick, man. It's pretty wild to hear just, like, you know, each of you guys, how you guys got started. And something I always love to ask about is, like, the first bike that you guys owned. So, Martin, for yourself, what was the first build that you had?
My first bike I ever owned was a Robinson.
Nice.
With 3/8 front axle, 3/8 back axle. You know, it was like I think super raced out, but I was grinding with it, you know, 180ing with it, doing everything I could. The whole bike ended up being bent, but it worked.
That's pretty wild, man. Especially like hearing that you kind of really started with that thing, you know, grinding, racing, everything.
Not really racing. I never raced, but
right.
I've had, you know, the bikes I grew up riding weren't strong at all. They were pretty for, you know, racing bikes.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And then obviously, you know, for yourself, Ralph, what did you kind of start out with? Obviously the bikes must have been so different for each of you guys, I think.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I had the first 20-inch bike was like a crossover when they were going from still kind of banana seat style to BMX, this Raleigh that I got when I was, it was a 1980 Raleigh. And that was like the first bike you kind of go around through skids and start picking the front wheel up with and stuff. And then, you know, then I started, I was flying around with that over here and I moved out a few miles outside of Jersey City, and the kids were like, you know, oh, I got this mongoose, I got this, I got that. And I was like, you know what, this banana seat ain't cutting it. So then I started seeing some stuff with you know, a couple of magazines and this and that in the early 80s, 82, 83. And then I got a 85 Pro Raider Hutch that was like, you know, wasn't like a top of the line style. It was when they went, you know, crazy mass market with it, but it was like, you know, it was the coolest thing back then. I mean, it was really a piece of shit, and it you know, got completely mangled up in no time. But it was, you know, at the time it was on. Once I got a real, you know, a real BMX with, you know, a regular seat, and you know, it was a whole new era then. And then it went into, you know, some other, I had a Trickstar. I had a few different bikes like that, a couple of Harrows and Free Agent, Elf. I don't even know. I had a ton of bikes through the mid to late 80s. And then, started getting other stuff in the 90s when it really evolved into stronger bikes and stuff like that too. So, but that's a whole nother thing. I keep talking on it, but that's the intro with it.
Dude, I love it. That's awesome. And what I think is so interesting too is, like, obviously for yourself, you've created this huge company with, you know, such a unique style. Everybody's bike is, I feel, so different, right? Like the whole point of, like, Animal when you started it was basically that it was going to be more about the riding than anything, but the bikes and just everything about it is so iconic and so its own. And it's wild to think about, like, you know, when you first started, you were saying that the bikes had banana seats and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, the setups that these guys were riding when we first started the company really set a trend that's the norm for the long term at this point, for a long time. You know, they, we always had, the bikes were set up a little different for street than you could tell if somebody was, you know, racing or doing this and that. You could tell who was street riders at the time, but, you know, with four pegs and then taking the brakes off, that was crazy at the time with you know, Butcher and Ed, all these guys. It was something that was, it made you not be able to hit the brakes and really control the bike different, and it was a whole new style for sure. And I was like, hell no. And then I was like, took them off, and I was like, oh, this is great. I don't got to worry about a bent rim, this and that. But, you know, I was used to hitting the brakes like all hell on everything, you know. So it was, it's crazy. It is crazy, but it's a revolutionary style for sure. And it is. I think it's a freer style to be able to control the bike that much better on a lot of levels. You know, not that, again, brakes is a whole different level too of all kinds of control and style, but just for the type of tricks and everything else that goes with it, it's, you know, it really became the norm after these guys set the precedence, you know, with it for the long term.
Definitely, man. And I was going to ask Martin, did you actually ever run brakes on your bike, or were you brakeless pretty much from the start?
I was brakeless from the start.
Dude, that's wicked.
I did ride two pegs, and then I started riding four pegs shortly after, but I did start brakeless.
Dude, that's awesome. I've been running brakes for years, but when I did start, I was brakeless as well. And I think that, like you were saying, Ralph, just about people switching from riding brakes to brakeless, you really have to kind of man up and really go for something and fully commit rather than, you know, have the bitch lever there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, you get used to stopping. So it's similar on some levels, but I think, you know, I would, for me especially, and different people are different, but I would be, I had my hands on the brake lever no matter what I was doing, just in case I'm gonna hit them. And I think it took away from, you know, I did feel a different sense of focus just on the grips type of deal without even thinking about it, you know, after you get used to it. And you got to look for different tricks either way too, because that's the way it was, you know, go out even street riding, riding banks. You go, you're doing mini ramp tricks at the time with tail taps and nose picks, this and that on the bank. But, you know, you got to learn them all different with, without the brake too. And it is, it's definitely harder. And, but it's, you know, they're both fun in their own right, but different things are, you know, it's just, it is what it is. Just different tricks either way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And what I do love seeing is dudes who were brakeless at one point put the brakes back on, right? Like we recently saw Chase Hawk kind of do that. And with Chase and just his style, it works so well having those brakes back on. But, you know, I do think that if you ride brakeless for, you know, such a long amount of time, putting them on again has got to be kind of strange.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll tell you what, I tried to put them back on after running them, and I couldn't even, you know, I don't know if it was arthritis in the fingers or what, but it was like I was good for nothing with them after not using them for a long time, and I just kind of, I took them off within a little bit because it was, I don't know what it was. I guess it was so many years of riding them, so many years of not riding them, and then I wanted it to work, but it didn't. But I still got plans to put them back on at some point and mess with it. But, you know, I had tried and it didn't work for me at the time, you know?
Yeah, fair enough, man. Now, you know, what I find so interesting is obviously we've got the two of you guys in here, and I really just kind of want to know, how did you guys meet each other? Because, Martin, I'm sure that, you know, you being influenced by Bob and whatnot when you were younger, it must not have been too long until you met him. And then I would assume Bob, you know, introduced you to Ralph.
Well, the way I met Ralph is funny because there used to be this kid, Jay Tavares, that was a good friend of mine. He's still a friend of mine. But we used to hang out a lot when I was younger. And he used to ride BMX. And he knew Shane Rossi. So one day, he takes me to the warehouse over in Jersey, and I meet Shane, and I met Ralph that same day, and pretty much that's the day I met Ralph. And how I met Ralph is because Jay Tavares introduced me to Shane, and Shane introduced me to everyone else.
Dude, that's
so
wicked.
I do thank Jay Tavares and Shane Rossi.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ralph, when you first met, you know, the shift life, Mr. Martin here, you know, what was your first impression? Because obviously Martin's got such an interesting style and is a unique rider all around.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, I remember the first few times him coming to the warehouse and how he was somebody that was like, so many kids coming through, and he was just on his own thing, and he just had his own style, and he was just, you know, he was just so hyped on the whole, everything, you know, the riding, the tricks, every aspect of it was just so, so focused and real with it. And then he was just getting better and better. I remember he was coming in there, and then at a young age, he was doing, you know, whips on the flat and stuff before anybody else was, you know, I mean, not anybody else. There were some people doing it, but it wasn't even, you know, it's still crazy to do something like that. But, you know, the tricks that he was doing even there. And then I know we started riding street right out of there too. And then, you know, it was really, you know, we ride pretty often more and more at the warehouse. And then we were on the streets not long after all the time either way too. So it just happened. And that was, you know, probably what, 06, 07, something like that, when you started rolling over there, when Shane was there too.
Yeah, maybe 2005, earlier.
Probably even earlier. Yeah. No, that's you know, crazy that it's been a minute, but it's like,
the craziest,
you know,
thing that I remember is, you know, the first couple times I showed up to the warehouse and I would see Ralph, and I would be like, you know, it was like a big thing for me because, you know, the owner, the boss, and then I'm a young kid. I'm like 15, 16 years old. It was like a crazy thing for me at the time. And even till this day is a crazy thing to even be friends, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's so far in the future too, right? It's been, you know, 15 years almost that you guys have really known each other and whatnot.
15 plus years that I've been, you know, that I've known Ralph. And out of all those 15 years, I can't think of one bad moment.
Dude, that's incredible. That seems so sick. And that's something that I see from the Animal Team as a whole, right? Like every video, you know, like if you guys have seen the show before, I am so obsessed with full length videos. I love like a good BMX DVD. I just can't help it. I've produced two of my own and it's just something that I love, right? And I think it really shows the vibes and whatnot and captures your crew and what happens in your community, right? And Animal always seems like the kind of people where it's just always good times, right? There's never any bullshit. And I know that that was a big thing for you, Ralph. You started it with the idea of no bullshit. And I think you've done a damn good job at it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was really the main focus and still is just to... you know, the best street riding and the best parts for street riding and, you know, just doing the best we can at it the whole time. And yeah, it's crazy the crew that we have, and it's, you know, it's evolved in a lot of different ways, but it's, I wouldn't even know where to start with everybody for sure. And, you know, Martin's definitely, he's been my go-to guy to go riding with for a long time too. You know, when I know, hey, who's around, Martin's always down to ride everything, everywhere, all the time. And I can't even tell you how much I always look forward to, you know, to hitting him up and getting out. And, the vibes are great. Yeah, I never wanted to stop. We start going and I just can't stop so I can't move anymore, but it's, you know, it's the best. There's nothing I'd rather be doing except pedaling around and hitting everything all over the place, for sure.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, it's honestly, like, both of you guys still shred, which is incredible, right? Martin, obviously, you've been posting a ton on Instagram. Ralph, we don't really see too much from you, but I can almost guarantee that the whole community within BMX wants to see more Ralph.
Oh, dude, I actually have a good stash of Ralph clips that I've just been thinking about making, you know, like an edit of him. Of all the clips that I have from, like, they're like maybe 2 to 3 years old, but I was just planning on making an edit because I have about maybe over 15 clips of him.
Dude, I gotta see that. That's gonna be sick. Honestly, you really should. And it is something that, like, even in, you know, the new Wit It video, there was there was a clip of you, Ralph, and then a clip of you, Martin, and I know that I really enjoyed seeing that. Yours was a big, like, wall ride, Ralph, and that was sick.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I was out on a great day with the crew and just cruised a little bit, but it was, you know, it was the best. It was an epic day, and I got a little fun clip out of it, and just to be a part of the whole thing is, you know, it's like an honor to me to still even have something in it with the level that all these guys are riding at. It's, you know, it wouldn't be in there if I wasn't the owner, but that is, it's an honor, you know what I'm saying? These guys are on some crazy levels for sure.
Absolutely, man. I was going to mention, you know, the Animal Team, at least the pro team, is so next level, man. And even, you know, the dudes that were in the Wit It video, there's a reason you guys were nominated for a Nora Cup. And honestly, I think that had you guys not been up against Kinks Champagne, you guys totally would have taken first place on that, because the video, like, really holds its own when it comes to, like, you know, the vibes and whatnot. And it's something I've always really appreciated about Animal videos, which we actually have Can I Eat going behind us right now. But yeah, I was going to say, with the Animal videos, I feel like you can literally start at the very beginning and watch every single one back to back. And they're all very similar in a way, right? And I really appreciate that kind of vibe. It's something that I gave a lot of credit to Robbie Morales at Cult for. I've always felt that Cult kind of, you know, emulates that very well as well.
Thank you. Thank you. No, these, if I watch the vids, I'm crazy with it, and I got to get out. You know, they're all of them
they're all incredible.
The motivation to ride that you get from seeing them is through the roof, and all these guys that are in them are the, you know, they're the best of the best, and you know, that's why I don't even want to start naming names because we got such a lineup with it, but it's still crazy to me to have such high levels of riders through the years that have, you know, evolved the way it has with the crazy stuff that's happened, and I couldn't even imagine some of the stuff that I'm seeing now, you know, would ever be a reality. It's crazy the things that everybody's doing.
Something I really appreciate about you, Ralph, is the fact that there is a lot of people, and I'm guilty of it sometimes, that look way too far into the past and focus on that rather than looking at the future. And it really seems that you're really stoked on what's going on right now while still appreciating the past, you know, just from kind of the way that you talk about your team and whatnot. You're so appreciative of like BMX, how far it's come in the last few years, instead of saying stuff like, you know, mid school was better and whatnot.
No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that, and I agree completely that it is. It's, you know, there's always, no matter what's going on, you can't classify everything. There's always been dope stuff going on, and especially what the stuff that we've been doing for the whole time is you know, it's all top level, but you know, really focused on the spots and you know, completely street riding. Really, outside, you know, not that we don't ride other stuff either way too, but marketing wise, that's what. I mean, it's the main thing we're riding either way. But you know what I'm saying? We'll ride whatever's there either way. But it is, and. It is. It's completely crazy to me to think about all the people that we have with it now, that have been with it for so long, and the new people. I mean, they're all the my idols. You know, everybody is. I look up to all these guys so much for the level that they ride at, for the longevity that they do it, and how they're still pushing it and getting better. You know, it's super motivating on all levels to make everything, keep it moving no matter what, and make the best of everything with how positive all these things are, even if there's other issues to deal with. You know, the positives are through the roof with the crazy crew for all the time.
Absolutely, man. And I was going to mention too, you know, just the fact that the team, I feel like anybody who ever gets on Animal sticks around for, you know, pretty much the rest of their pro career, because you look at somebody like Stephen Hamilton, who, you know, is a legend in the scene. He is such a iconic part of BMX and such an important part of, you know, everything. And he's still with you guys. He's still repping, and, you know, he loves it. It's just something that, you know, Animal's really good at, is keeping the crew stoked and keeping people around, you know, making sure that everybody feels loved and feels involved.
Thank you. Yes, Steven is, he is a whole level to himself of to still be improving and doing new things and learning things and becoming a high level skateboarder while he's still improving on the riding and being out day and night every second he can the way he does. You know, there's these guys all ride all the time, but outside of Martin, Steven's the guy that's always, he's on the bike, you know, he lives on it. These guys live on the bike like crazy. And Hamilton, He was the natural best type of rider of what he does from the beginning, and he had to get through a lot of hurdles to get to the place he is now. But he is, he's a huge success story to be able to do what he's done and take his riding to this level, and you know,
Steve is a huge, huge legend, big time legend. Big time.
Yeah, he started big motivation for everything.
I feel like he started a trend, but you know, a certain riding trend.
Absolutely, man. He's gone next level with a lot of the stuff that he's done. You know, there's so many clips of him that just blow my mind. And what I love too is that like he really never stopped. Like he's still so good to this day, whereas a lot of dudes his age and you know that have been riding his, like as long as him kind of tame it down at some point, where he is just still going hard. I love it.
Oh yeah, Stephen Hamilton, he's a beast. So this day he's a beast.
Absolutely. So Martin, yeah. when did you first meet Steve?
I met him maybe around 5 to 6 years ago. I don't remember exactly where. I think it was at the Junk Spot, rest in peace, Jersey City. But I met him once. He didn't have his bike, he had his skateboard with him. But other than that, that's the only time I met him.
Dude, that's wild. It'd be cool to get you guys on a trip at some point and just hang out and ride together, you know?
Oh, dude, to get out of New York City and be on a trip in anywhere other than New York City with Stephen Hamilton would be like a dream, you know? Growing up as a kid, starting riding, I would see Stephen Hamilton's video, you know, in the animal video. And just from being a kid and watching him, and then now, you know, I'm grown, and to ride with him on a trip for animal would be insane.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, I was going to ask earlier, but I kind of blanked on it. When it comes to sponsors, who were you guys first sponsored with? Because I know that, if I'm correct, Ralph, you were hooked up with FBM at some point, were you not?
Yes. Yeah, I'm still... You know, I'm still an FBM fan and rider for life, you know, but Mike Tagg was a good friend of a mutual friend, and when we were about, you know, 17 years old, we were about the same age, and we ended up meeting up at a place, because he was up in, you know, these guys were up in Binghamton and Ithaca, and they ended up coming down here to meet me in Newburgh at this spot, and I met Tag there, and it was a skate park that was over there, which was crazy style for sure. But you know, Tag, one of the best individuals ever, and I miss him dearly. But he got me with FBM right away. We met there, and then I saw him kill it at this this crazy Hoffman series contest or something, you know. And I was like, oh, there's Mike from the skate park. He's in the pro box jumping. And I had known about him his way for a while, you know, but to see him at this level competing, which he wasn't even a competitive rider like that, you know, he was on his own thing, but, you know, it was insane the kind of tricks he did, you know, all kinds of nothing variations and then the best stuff either way. And he placed right up there with, you know, like McCoy and Miron, and it was an insane day. And then after that, we started hitting trips, riding street, and, you know, then we started filming for the first few FBM videos, and, you know, he was the best. He was the best of the best. Being around him just made you be the best that you could be, to be, you know, crazy doing whatever style that he was on. He was super motivation. It was super push you to ride, and he was just down to travel and go all over the place, you know, campus to campus, at schools or whatever. He was just always on a mission. So that was my first sponsor through Tag, who, you know, I went right up there and met Crandall too. And it was definitely some great years for, you know, and for the long-term relationship either way with, you know, riding FBMs, you know, through the years. But yeah, so FBM, but my first sponsor was actually Base Brooklyn for clothing, through, Glenn Milligan, which, you know, this was super early style meeting up in New York at the street jams and stuff in the early 90s. And then, you know, so that was a clothing company sponsor, and then I was in their videos and then riding for FBM. So that was really it before I started Animal with both of them. But, you know, Glenn's the best too, and those years were great too, all the time. Shout out to Enos over there, because we'd always be chilling out.
Hell yeah.
You know, over there. So it was a lot of good stuff. So many good years, and, you know, so much crazy stuff for sure. I wouldn't even know where to start. So that's just a couple of things.
Hell yeah, man. And Crandall was actually on our show about 8 episodes ago. And Crandall is one of those dudes that I feel is just so genuine and so awesome and just rad. You know, he's always been a huge part of BMX in the scene. And it's really interesting to see that, you know, Animal was kind of birthed around the time that you were riding with Crandall and, you know, the FBM crew and whatnot. Because, dude, you can kind of see, like, I don't know, just some of the influence from Crandall and his personality within Animal, even though it's your company.
Yeah, no, FBM, you know, was and still is the shit, you know, and they were like the, you know, I was so excited when all that happened, because they were just like the crazy as hell underground style thing that was against, you know, you were still coming out of BMX, you know, when it was still from, you know, more of a competitive type of sport with contests and things. And not that they didn't do that, but, you know, it was, it's definitely, a similar vibe to the craziness of the Animal style, but I guess it was just, you know, but that's how the company started. Either way, it was on an FBM trip with these guys, so that was priceless times too. And watching those old FBM videos, and I was at some of those crazy parties, and these guys were, it was the best going up there and traveling with these guys. And it seems like another lifetime now how long ago it was, but it was timeless at the same time, for sure.
Absolutely. And Martin, to go back to you here, when did you get your first sponsor, and who was it? Was it like a local shop or a local shirt company, anything like that? Or was it directly to like a big brand?
It was a bike shop in where I grew up in Kearney, the next town over in North Arlington, called Capsule Bikes, while I was in high school. And they would always hook me up, you know, with parts if I needed anything. And then after that, I just did my own thing because they went out of business. I'm not sure the reason why. And I just kept doing my own thing. And my first real deal hookup sponsor was Animal.
Hell yeah. I kind of figured so much, you know. It's been a big part of like your, you know, whole vibe and whole scene was like Animal, you know, which I love. It's so perfect for you.
Totally. To me personally, it's one of the most craziest things if not the craziest that's ever happened to me to be a part of Animal, is because it's a company that I grew up into since day one on a bike, that I looked up to. And just to be a part of Animal is, I can't even tell you how I feel. It's like a priceless feeling.
Absolutely,
to be a part
man.
Of the crew.
Yeah, there's a local dude that lives about an hour and a half from me. His name is Blair, and this kid used to look up to the BMX food dudes so much. You know, he's a Niagara local, and there's like, you know, footage of him on his Instagram from when he was like 12 years old, just like reposting all this BMX foo stuff, and just always since day one been in love with BMX foo, right? And then finally he gets hooked up with them, and it's like, you know, he's part of the crew now, and that was such a big deal for him. And I feel like that's such a similar story for you, being that, you know, like Animal has definitely been a big part of you even before you were a part of them, if that makes any sense.
Well, the crazy thing is, before I was even on Animal, years before, when I was 16 years old, I got my first Animal, my first tattoo I ever got in my entire life was an Animal tattoo at 16 years old. And I actually lied to my mom, and my sister was overage, so she took it. And I got back home and got in big time trouble, but it was worth it because, like I said, there's no other company. Animal's, you know, my favorite to heart.
Absolutely. Animal is sort of a way of life down in the East Coast and for most of the BMX scene, right? Like, I always find that, you know, if you see a dude riding like an Animal part, he doesn't just have one Animal part. His bike is decked out with Animal. And just everything about the company and the brand and whatnot is so iconic and such a big part of BMX. And I imagine for you, Ralph, meeting, you know, Martin, and he's got this Animal tattoo. Did he have it at this point, or did he already met you and then went out and got it?
Yeah, no, he had it. He's had it from the beginning, and it's crazy because Martin is—he's like what the company is. He was raised on it, and he ran with it at the same time. You know, he was raised on it from a kid, and he just harnessed it and is doing all kinds of stuff to, you know, he's been a huge part of it for so long, but he grew up on it too. And it is Martin is you know, he is what Animal Bikes is, you know. He's street riding in North Jersey and in New York City area, all over, you know, I mean all over the place, but you know, that's like he was here being raised on it from a kid as the local brand, you know, is what I'm saying. Even though we got stick riders all over, it's still where, you know, it began, and we still have, you know, such crazy riders over here, for sure. And Martin he's the streets. He's on the streets, and he's killing them all the time. And that's Animal, and there's no better repping than that.
Absolutely, man. I was gonna say, you know, Martin really is the epitome of Animal, right? Like, he's the perfect example of Animal. And dude, just your Instagram alone is like filled with so many unique clips that honestly are like impossible to replicate. And it's mainly just everything that's involved with it, right? Your style of riding, the bike, the, you know, the scenery, the object that you're using, like everything about it is just so Animal in that way, right? You're just such a perfect example of the company.
Well, I feel like,
and he's modest, but he is, you know, he's just doing it on the DL either way, even though he's, you know, even though he's so active with it, he's still, you know, just doing his own thing where he wants to, when he wants to, and making it happen. So, all right, sorry, I cut you off. I want to say that too, though.
Oh, no, that's cool. I just feel like as soon as I step on my bike and I'm in the streets, anything that's in front of me, you know, whether, you know, basically, you know, if I know I can do it, you know, I'm going to do it. Whether it could be a construction truck or anything that has to do with the lifestyle of life, I'm going to ride it. That's my vision of riding street. It's ride absolutely everything.
Dude, and that's so true. And the point that I love too is that, you know, you mentioned ride everything and you have the proof to back that up. It's not like, you know, you're just saying that. You literally ride everything. There was this crazy fence that you or I guess it'd be like, you know, garden siding, and it's basically a rail, but it goes up and down very quickly. Like anybody else would lock up on their pegs and go right over the bars and eat shit. And somehow you managed to ride it. And then one of my other favorite clips, which I'll show later on in the show, is you on this chain. And it's like the most ridiculous thing ever, this green chain setup. And you do a hard 180 to backwards tire ride on the chain and then bar spin out. Like, that makes zero sense. And it's so, like, you know, the shift life. That's the best part, is that it's so you, if that makes sense.
Dude, to be honest, I was at that chain and I've done a couple things with that chain before, but I was thinking about trying that trick there, and I didn't think it was going to work out, but luckily it worked out under 5 minutes, which was totally insane, but I don't know. I don't know how it worked out, but it worked out.
Yeah, that clip is the illest. It's the illest, and that's the epitome of, you know, a spot that nobody would do anything on, and there's something that who's ridden, as far as I know, nobody's ridden backwards on a chain before, and to do it at a combo with multiple other tricks is, you know, so, sorry, I want to get it in, I get too hyped up hearing about it, because that was the best.
It was just, I don't know, I think, like, when I see certain setups that no one has touched, I try to think of something outside the box that I can do that's going to be worth it, and I'll give it a shot. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't, but at least I gave it the shot.
Yeah, man, when it comes to chain stuff, there's a very, very few people that have ever really done anything on chains, right? You get the, you know, the average person.
I'm sorry, big inspiration on Tate for the chain rides.
Yep.
Huge inspiration on him. Watching his videos, he's inspired me a bunch by attacking them chains. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Tate, he's the man, dude. Yeah, he's too sick.
Watching his videos on Instagram definitely gave me a huge inspiration on going to attack some chains. Whatever chain I see that's possible, I'm going to attack it.
That's wicked, man. Yeah, there's very few people that have really ever rode a chain, and most people I feel like could probably do, you know, a pegs grind on it, or like a peg stall on a chain. You might get a little freaked out, but I don't know if you would know him. He's a mountain bike legend. The dude is unreal at freestyle mountain biking. Matt McDuff. Years ago, he tried this 40-foot loop, which is nuts, but he also loves to ride street, and there's a photo of him somewhere on the internet doing a foot jam on a chain, and it makes zero sense, right? Like, how the hell do you get into a foot jam on a chain?
Oh, on the side, Batty Matty. I'm not sure if you heard of him.
Yep, definitely have.
Batty Matty is the truth on chains. I've seen his videos. He's done some tire taps and some goofanoos. So 180 variations out, he's unreal with it.
That is so wild, man. Ralph, have you ever had any success riding chains before, or is it just not your thing?
I tell you what, I wouldn't go anywhere near it.
Dude, I'm the same
that
way.
I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine thinking about throwing that type of trick, or, you know, I don't even get it. So I'm scared just thinking about it. I'm getting shook. So it's the balance on the on the tires, especially. I mean, maybe like a double peg stall, but I think I flip with it either way. So
it's literally, to be honest, it's a 50-50. You either get on it or you don't. And that's the thing that's the scariest, because, you know, out of maybe 10 out of 10, you're going to get two, or not even one. So that's the part that sucks.
Yeah, dude, chain riding seems ridiculous, and it's something where, like, I have this ridiculous setup on my bike where both brakes are pulled with one lever, and I feel like that would be the perfect thing for a chain, because you could literally just hop on and hit the brakes, and you've got front and rear just to kind of hold you in place. But I don't even know if that would do it. I kind of think with you, when you're kind of on it, you actually roll around a little bit, and that seems to, I don't know if it helps or not, but I kind of feel like that's how you got to do it.
I feel like if you're gonna do a chain ride specifically, you're definitely not gonna want to hit the brakes, because you're gonna want to keep rolling straight as much as you can.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
If you're doing you know, some crazy stunts like this guy, backward poop news, then you're gonna want the brakes.
Yeah, definitely, eh?
Yeah, cause, I mean, I don't know. If I'm gonna do a chain ride, I wouldn't hit the brakes. I'm going to want to keep going straight and straight. And, you know?
Dude, yeah. And something that blows me away that I feel like is comparable only in how difficult it is pegless grinds. And obviously, you know, when we talk about pegless grinds, we of course need to talk about the one and only Chris Silva, who actually rides for Animal Bikes. And Silva is a very close friend of mine. I love Silva. He's incredible, man. We were riding pools in the middle of December this past year.
He is a monster. He is so good. That dude is so good.
Dude, and what I love about Silva, too, is that he is, like, so the opposite of what a normal BMX rider is, in the way that, like, he is so, I don't know, man. He's very, very, very calculated with stuff. And then on top of that, he's also, like, just this genuine, amazing, nice dude who's, like, super well respected, not just in the BMX scene, but just in life in general, right? The guy is just he's incredible, man. Silva is the fucking man.
Silva is the fucking best.
Absolutely.
I remember riding with him the original DUI spot in Jersey City. Riding with Silva. This is over 8 years ago. And like you said, he's such a calculated guy. Everything he does is so smooth. And he's so clean with it. He's just so clean with it.
Yeah, Silva is the top human out there. He's on all levels, and he's such a calculated, insane, dialed, crazy spot driven. He's everything. He's just the best of the best at and the things that he's done on every level with pegs, and then without pegs was on a whole other level, and he just kept going and doing that over double without pegs down the kickback,
manual whip to over dubs is insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's like some fantasy fairy tale. You wouldn't even believe it if it wasn't
unreal.
He's been doing that for so long since we met him. We had gone up to a jam he was doing up there with the majority of the team, a long time ago. You know, he's been on the crew for forever, and he it was the best. You know, he's got a crazy crew up there, and we had such a good time, and he's just been a big part of everything since, and it's been you know, I don't even know if the, you know, same deal with, like, since Martin started coming over there in 13, 14, Martin, you know, but a long time, Silva's been down from pretty much the beginning, too, and he's, I tell you what, when I remember Miron saying to me when he was, you know, getting out of everything that he had going with McNeil, with sponsor, you know, with Silva riding for him at the time, that, you know, he told me what I already knew, but he said, this guy is going to be, you know, killing it forever, and he's going to be a part of everything for the long term, and you know, I knew it, and he knew it back then, and to get that kind of shout from the Beast on the you know, these guys are the best of the best, and Silva's still doing it on that professional level of saying, hey, I'm gonna go out and just crush it right now, and send you a bunch of clips, and it's done, you know.
Absolutely, man. Silva's, again, you know, Canadian legend, and I honestly would put Silva up in the top five of best Canadian riders of all time, not just because he's like an insane rider and everything, but just because of his consistency and how long he's been able to push the scene. And obviously, you know, we have the ICC videos and everything that he's done for the scene around here and whatnot. And honestly, man, Silva is like, he is next level, dude. He's I'm really stoked that he's been on Animal for so long, because it does seem like the perfect home for him. We actually just watched his 2014 video part, and now we're on to his McNeil Any Means Necessary part, which again is an insane video part. Like, he's always been so good at making the best video content, you know?
Yeah, no, he makes epic things, doing epic stuff, and you know, and then the crew is crushing it all over the place too, hitting all kinds of awesome spots, and it's you know, I love it to see such a great team that got everything you guys got going up there with like that with Silva is off the hook.
Absolutely, man. I was going to ask, and I feel like we kind of covered it, but what really led you to putting Silva on the team originally? Was there anything that really kind of caught your eye about him before, you know, you'd really known him too well?
You know, it just seemed like it happened, and it was a natural thing from that point on. You know, we just kept communicating after we had met, and he was, you know, already seeing these crazy parts that he had in his videos, and, you know, seeing him ride in person, and it was all just, you know, it was just meant to be, and he, you know, he was all that and then some with the way he's killed it since then. So it's, you know, he's definitely the real deal with on so many levels. And I don't even know. I could keep going about him. That's the thing. I don't even want to go. I keep talking about Silva through all night because he's the best.
That was awesome.
Yeah, dude, he's seriously the best. Anyways, moving on from that, you know, on top of Silva, you guys also have some incredible riders on the team. People like Mike Hoder, Courage Adams, Augie Simoncini, Dan Lacy, and of course, Martin. You know, we got to throw that in there. But, you know, over the years, you've collected so many incredible riders for your team. And I don't know, man, like, just how does this always happen? Because everybody that's on your team is just so good and also so so into being on the team, if that makes sense. Like, they're all very passionate riders for Animal.
Yeah, the people we got they're just on the highest level of everything, and repping and love for the brand and the company and everything that we got going is just I don't need you, all of them. It is it when I think about it, each of these guys separately alone is just a phenomenon, you know, and then all of them together and all that they've done for BMX and riding and they're still doing is the next level and just thinking like that is such, you know, anytime I see any footage of any of them is crazy motivation to just want to go crazy with it on all levels of riding and everything else, for sure.
Definitely.
All the tunes are crazy good.
Yeah, definitely, yeah, man.
It's insane. It is.
Yeah, so what I was going to mention is, you know, I kind of mentioned it earlier, I guess, but something about Animal has always really spoke out to me, and it's that you guys have really kept the style and everything so consistent over the years, even just with the riders themselves, right? Like, everybody that rides for Animal has that Animal style, and whenever you see somebody that, I don't know, I kind of feel like everybody on the team kind of takes from each other, if that makes sense. Like, it really seems that everybody goes to each other for inspiration. And you guys keep the East Coast vibe so, you know, close with everything. Like, just every video part, you can tell that it's an Animal video part when you see it, which I think is really difficult to accomplish. And you guys have done a great job at that.
Yeah, I think these guys all feed off of each other, and they're all doing their own thing, but it's all together at the same time. You know, they're like all the pieces of it, of a, you know, crazy street riding on all different levels. They're all doing it in their own way, but yet they're doing it on the top level in their own way. And even though it's all street riding, it's still specific to them. And they're all at this crazy level that, you know, they're all doing their own thing. They're not looking to go out there and look at what somebody else is doing and do it. They want to just go out and have fun and do something that their style and their type of thing on their type of spot and do something different that other people aren't doing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, I know we're kind
of... It's the most insane stuff on the level of insanity either way of you know, technical and craziness. So, but it is, they're all like, you know, they're all do their own thing, but yet they all complement each other as one at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we're kind of jumping all over the place here, but, when you guys first started, obviously you guys, I don't know if we really mentioned it, but you started out by selling pegs out of a local bike shop. You guys had a phone line set up there. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Intense Energy. Joe Malone. Another top human who really helped us out get going when the company started.
So back then when you guys first started, I know that the pegs were a really big deal. A lot of people really, really liked the Animal pegs. And obviously they've been kind of a signature for street riding. Like, a lot of people, if they're using even plastics or metals nowadays, they're going with Animal for the most part. You know, for you guys, when you started it back then, what kind of made those pegs so different, if you don't mind me asking?
I think really at the time we were riding like pink pegs because they were, you know, more of the new style at the time when you really went from almost having like, you know, these old style, smaller freestyle type of pegs. You know, that's how it was. You would ride like some pegs that were, yeah, first screw on type of ones, right on the axles that would strip out all the time. And then they started making other pegs that, you know, we're on with a regular bolt, but I think we were running kink pegs really at the time, and they were just a little too small and a little too brittle. So we just made them bigger and softer, and it was actually at the same place that is producing some of our USA-made parts now with the jump-off stems and things like that, who originally made these pegs, who was also making them even for Kink back then, who was local with them. And And that was really it. That was the recipe for success. You know, there was a little more metal and it was softer and, you know, I don't know, whatever, a little 4.5 instead of 4 or something. And they were the best pegs then. After that, you know, those were the best pegs.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, when it came time to put out a second product, I wasn't really able to find much, but what did you guys end up releasing for your second product?
I'm pretty sure it's Sprockets.
Nice. Yeah, that seems like a good way to go. You know, Sprockets is something I think most companies could get a good start on because it really doesn't take much, right? You just need a design and a CNC, and for the most part, your recipe is right there.
Yeah, no, we had a good, really strong sprocket, and it was, you know, back then 44 and 45, and then 43 was like the new smaller size that we made after the 44 and the 45, you know, and then to the 39 and 36, et cetera. But, yeah, those were
a great thing, too. 39 some sprocket hanging on my wall right now, the original 39-inch sprocket.
Dude, that is wild. Yeah, especially just to think about how big those sprockets were, right? Like, when I first started rodding, it was only about 10 years ago. So things are already kind of progressed, right? Like, if you got a decent BMX bike, it would actually have a 25-tooth with a 9-tooth on the back. But to kind of look back and see that at one point, dudes were riding, you know, 44-tooths with, you know, maybe a 16-tooth on the back, is pretty crazy to think about. And I love that it kind of like stepped down. It didn't just drastically change, you know?
Yeah.
I had this crate, the original 44-tooth animal sprocket, brand new, and I actually made it into a clock and I donated it to Grocery Bicycles. Shout out to them, Jersey City. Great bike shop. If you're in the area, definitely go check them out.
Yeah, I second that. And yeah, Martin made thick clocks out of some of the bigger sprockets, which were super dope. We had back then, back in the day, we had a surplus of the bigger sizes when the smaller ones came out too, because it was dead, you know. And now it's become like a collectible thing that you know, it's they're vintage at this point, so.
Dude, and not only, like, you know, the sprockets are collectible, but I honestly think Animal is one of those companies that is just so collectible in general. A lot of people I know actually looking for, like, the Cush seats and a couple of the other products. Like, obviously, the Tom Whitewalls were such a great tire. And then, I don't know, man, I think you're not a true BMX rider unless you've rode some Edwin grips on your bike, because those are, again, just such a big product for Animal, at least in my mind. But, you know, those Cush seats and just the seat design is so iconic and so different. And I know that quite a few people actually do collect them, which is sick.
Dude, I always said if those seats come out again, they'll sell out.
Instantly.
Instantly. If those seats come out instantly, I know for a fact they'll sell out.
Absolutely.
Even to this day, I'm looking for one of those seats.
All right, in that case, it might have to happen.
Dude.
That is a guaranteed fact that seat will sell out in a heartbeat.
Honestly, dude, I fully agree.
Too many people ask questions about that seat, and, you know?
Yeah, no, I like seeing people collecting them, too. I think it's cool to see that, and it was definitely a great seat.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so funny, the people that have them seats don't even want to give them up. They want to keep them. Even if they're in bad shape, good shape, no matter what shape it is, they are not trying to get rid of them, give up them seats.
I literally have about 3 different friends that I could call right now that have like 3 or 4 of those seats, which is hilarious, right? Like, I literally had a dude who I've never met before.
I guarantee you they won't give them up.
They will not give them
up, right? Exactly. They're just like, I would pay $200 for one of them seats right now, just to ride that seat. And it's just such a great seat. It makes me feel great.
Absolutely, man. Those seats are seriously so iconic. Honestly, you should really bring them back, Ralph, and don't change a fucking thing about them, because people will love that so much, right? There's really nothing else. Like, they're perfect as is, you know?
Those are the best seats. They're just, it's like the talk about, you know? People talk about them all the time. They want them. And where can I get them? Where can I get them? Oh, you got one for sale? But you can't find them.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a real popular thing that we had stopped at one point, because it was, you know, we came out with the newer revision style to it, I think, with something a little different. But then, you know, it's especially when people can't get something they want, then it is a great thing in general, though the people would want it if they could get them all day either way too. So I'm not arguing. They'll be back out, and they're a little under 200 on the retail, but we'll see. No.
Oh, I love it, man. Yeah, dude, honestly, do some reissues of those seats. People will, like, literally buy that shit up instantly. I love it.
Oh, for a fact. That is a fact, dude. I guarantee you that seat comes out, there's going to be sales out the ass.
Yeah, man. Anyways, you know,
there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. Anyways, to talk a little bit more about Animal here, if you guys don't mind, there was, you know, quite a big BMX scare a few years ago when we all kind of heard rumors that Animal could be closing its doors. And from what I've gathered, it all kind of stemmed from, you know, a few different things. However, the most notable was that the bank had backed out of a finance deal with you guys that had been made to create more products. So how true is that? And, you know, kind of where did you guys go from there to bring the company back?
Yeah, no, that is totally true. And it really dates back a long time ago, even to the last financial crisis of the last decade, that happened at the end of the last decade, because we were going for a really big expansion, because the company was growing like crazy, and we had, you know, stalled in our growth, and we could have been, either way, I was, you know, I'm always doing what I'm doing, and I'm going for it to make it happen and be the best it could be, and reach the potential that it can. And we were, you know, growing in a lot of different areas, and we were, you know, it was a really popular brand, and we were really set to, you know, double our products to a whole new product lines and new inventory. And we got, you know, a whole new building to do the distribution out of. And we even started distributing some other brands. And, you know, we went through a big expansion, and we had, you know, millions and millions of dollars of orders put into products with, you know, new products and reorders of those and backups of those products. And we really plan to, you know, get in and do this expansion and really grow the company like crazy toward the potential that it could, because the, you know, the demand was there to sell the stuff. So, and then it was at the, you know, we got approved for extra financing to help through the, get all everything to grow the business like this. And then everything was, you know, the banks were doing great and helping us out toward the end of the decade. And then when the whole financial crisis hit, they got killed with people taking off on them, and they, you know, and they, there were huge losses. It was even bigger than all the stuff that's even been happening now, you know, so far, even though this is even going to be worse for sure. But, you know, it was definitely a big thing, and the people that we were with, you know, as soon as all these problems happened, they started axing people, and they went through, you know, 3 VPs of lending over the 6 months that we were doing this expansion at the end, and then they were able to get out of giving us the financing to keep you know, to really bring in all this extra stock and new products. And it was, you know, we really put all we could, we had all we could into getting ready to do these bigger numbers. And then all of a sudden we couldn't bring the product in how we planned to, you know. So we started releasing the product slowly, but it was already too late because it was so far behind of where it needed to be if it would have just released everything at once and got that cash flow going. So it really turned the cash flow around overnight. And, you know, it was a super insane situation, and it went backwards for years. And, you know, we just kept fighting the whole time with it, and we kept doing what we're doing either way with the riding and, you know, getting anything we can have inventory-wise, even though we had shortages for so long. And we really just kept going backwards. You know, we were downsizing to minimize and turn things around, and, you know, went through a lot of different stages. We went into some remote warehousing, and we were rebuilding almost from nothing with the inventory. And we, you know, now we've been getting back to where we got to get to for the last, you know, year and a half or two. But it was literally fighting up against the wall, going, you know, doing all we can, even though things were turned around after that, like, you know, crazy for close to the whole decade. You know, so it was, it's all true. It was crazy as hell, and, you know, it still is, but it was, you know, if anything, I think it just, in the big picture for the long term, you know, made things stronger to go through what it did and continue and, you know, stick to the same base principles that the company's always had and not, you know, not falter on what it is, no matter how bad things were, to keep going to get to where we got to go. We just kept going. So that's the a brief version, you know, on the big picture. But it was, you know, business is crazy either way, and, you know, it's always been crazy, whether it's going good or going bad or going fast or going slow or you know, whatever. It's you know, it's tough, and it's always been a lot when doing something with, like, BMX and business, because you got to try to keep hyped and at the same time deal with the bullshit. But, you know, not that we're, you know, not us bullshit, but the business type of bullshit. And, you know, I'm still doing it, and the company's still doing it, and it's, you know, we ain't stopping, and we're keeping it moving to keep going where we got to go either way. So,
absolutely, man. You guys have done an incredible job of making sure that you could survive that. And it's unfortunate because it is one of those things that it was just the timing, right? Had you guys probably done it a year or two beforehand, it might not have been, you know, you might not have had those issues with the bank kind of backing out, at least from what it sounds like. And I know that, like, I don't know if you guys have felt the bike boom of 2020 at all, but I would assume so, as most bike companies kind of sold out of everything just through the pandemic. Everybody was buying products, at least for the most part. But, yeah, man, I'm really hyped that you guys are still around, and it would have been, honestly, a huge loss for BMX. We kind of felt when FBM died about a year ago, you know, that loss, and that was big for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, it's it was. I wish they could have kept making frames up there forever, and you know, it's definitely something that'll live forever on so many levels. But yeah, it is something that we gotta keep going either way. For the big picture, they're just, you know, it's endless really with everything that we got going with such a crazy crew and everything else where we could take it again. So I'm more hyped than ever really on the, you know, I always been super hyped on it, but it is, it's riding and everything, it's still such a positive thing with all everything else so crazy in the world, and just keeping it moving with doing what you want to do.
Absolutely, man. And over the, 20-ish years that Animal has been around, more than 20, but what have been a few of your favorite products, Ralph and Martin? Because I'm sure, Martin, you probably love all of them, but I don't know, I would assume you as well, Ralph. I mean, each part is probably like a baby to you, like it's such an important part of your business.
Yeah. Oh, that's tough for sure. But I'll tell you what, we're bringing back Hamilton's metal pedals. So that is, they're on the way here now. So that is something that I'm real excited about, because I need the metal. I need metals with pins to try to keep my feet on those pedals, because they don't want to stay, So, the pedals are iconic, and those are great. So those, and definitely the Ed grips, of course, and the GLH tires, and I love the Rat pedals for sure. Shout out to Rat, and he's a whole nother level of the best of the best for sure. So those are just some of them, but I it'll be tough to ride with other stuff besides them either way. I don't know if I could even do it.
Yeah, I definitely gonna grab some of those metals when they do come out. I'm a metal peg guy, a metal pedal guy. I have been for years, and I definitely have to grab some of those. Martin, yourself, what have been your favorite products over the years?
My favorite products, in as far as BMX stuff.
Yeah, either or for just from Animal.
Yeah,
from Animal. 100% they're cranks.
Nice.
Animal cranks. Ever since the day they came out, I have never ridden anything else, and I don't want to. They're perfect.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
They're literally, I've tried different cranks throughout my life, and Animals just feel right.
Fuck yeah, man. That's so rad.
I always have problems with cranks, and there's no problems with them ever.
They're
super solid, and
I always had problems with cranks. Once I started riding Animal, I never had a problem, which is, it's crazy, because I've been 15 years riding, and as soon as the Animal cranks came out, I never had an issue.
Dude, that's wild. That's pretty sick, though, just to be able to really have that on your company, as one of the best crank producers in the world, which you guys are, obviously. Like, it's one of the best products out there that you guys make, I would say.
Dude, honestly, every single Animal product I ride it with, I'm proud. 100%, 100% proud riding everything.
Hell yeah, man. I love that.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Makes me feel, when I look at my bike and I see Animal, my Animal stem, anything Animal on my bike, it just feels great.
Definitely, man. And, we're going to continue on here. Martin, let's talk a little bit more about you, and then we'll get back into a little bit more about yourself, Ralph. But, just to talk about you, man, again, like I said in the intro, you have one of the best Instagram accounts ever, I would say. Top three Instagram accounts for me is you and definitely early 2000s BMX. And then I'm not going to name the last one. I'm going to let people try and figure that one out. But honestly, your stuff is incredible. And I don't know how you do it. What's your advice, man, for Instagram? Because it really seems that you kind of have popped off with it, and everything that you post always gets like good reactions,
To be honest, I have no clue, dude. I just jump on my bike. I have a few inspirational riders that I see a few of their clips and it gives me, you know, some ideas. But other than that, I just go out on my bike and it's just who I am and what I do. Just whatever happens, happens. It's hard to explain. It's just who I am.
Absolutely, man.
What I do. It's weird.
I feel like in a lot of the clips that you post, most of it seems like it's probably self-filmed and then kind of edited afterwards. Is that right? Or do you have somebody film it most times?
A lot of the times I self-film it because I'm always on a solo mission.
Nice.
But, you know, there's times where I have someone film for me and then I edit it with an auto, you know, it's like an auto zoom. That'll do like you can zoom. It's like it's a program where you can zoom yourself, you know?
Definitely, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I can, I do a lot of that stuff myself on the computer, but yeah, it's sick to see that you kind of do all of that yourself. And we had Dan Foley, you know, one of the best self-filming guys in BMX on here a while ago.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, so obviously I feel like you've taken some inspiration from Dan. But what would be your tips
He's done a lot of self-filming stuff.
Dude, he's done like full-on edits self-filmed, right?
Yeah, exactly. I've seen some self-film, you know, like actual edits of himself.
Yeah, he's next level when it comes to self-filming. So what would be your tips for people out there who want to, you know, try self-filming more? It's been something that I think I want to kind of get into a little bit.
What I do when I self-film a clip, I'll make sure that I'm like a good distance away from what I'm doing. This way I have a good amount of editing space to zoom. And then that's basically it. I have my little tripod from Amazon. Set my phone, press record, put my phone on airplane mode before anything, press record, and then I'll start filming it and do what I do. And then once I get it, you know, I'll chop it up and do my own zoom editing.
Dude, that's sick. That's definitely like a good piece of advice for that. It's something that, you know, I've got my fair share of camera setups and whatnot. I'm always kind of like very weary about doing self-filming, especially with a camera, because I don't want my camera to get stolen. A phone, honestly, I would probably feel more comfortable with getting stolen, considering my cameras are a lot more expensive than my phone. But, dude, these days, all you need is a phone. Like, there's editing programs for your phone. Just post on Instagram.
The phone is something great.
Definitely, man. Anyways, we'll talk a bit about some of the clips that you've filmed for your Instagram. First off, one of the ones that I love that, you know, we kind of mentioned his name earlier, is the Crandall Bus Grind. So when did you first meet Crandall? I don't know why, but I absolutely love this clip of you just grinding the back of the bus and then him, like, yelling at you.
Yeah, that was actually the same day that I met him.
That's sick.
I actually asked him if I can, because the back of the bus was perfect, like a metal ledge. So I asked him if I could grind it, and we, you know, and he said yeah. So he let me do my thing. We got the clip out of it. He cursed at me, but it was worth it.
It's so good, man.
It was worth it. And then ever since that day, you know, I became cool with him. He's also another good dude.
Dude, Crandall is the fucking man.
I love that when Mark was grinding his bus. That was a treat.
Yeah. Even funnier, too, that I was just standing, and at the time, my friend was holding my phone, and Crandall picked me up while I was smoking a cigarette, and my friend just took a photo, and I think I have the photo on Instagram somewhere. I'm going to repost it soon, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's at the end of the clip. We're just watching the footage now. Yeah, dude, I love it.
So funny, dude.
So good. Another one that I absolutely love is the NYPD car ride. So this was nuts, and I feel like it must have been, you know, I don't know, just a car that has been broken down or kind of pushed off to the side somewhere that they're not using anymore. What's the story behind it? Because I don't know, man. I saw this clip and laughed real hard about it.
Actually, that's a live NYPD parking lot, and I took the biggest risk of my life to do that. And I had about 7 people on each corner on speakerphone just watching to see if any undercover, any, you know, traffic police, whatever the case is, NYPD. And when the coast was clear, I did my thing, and I got away with it.
That is fucking wild.
it's super crazy that it worked, because not only was I worried about, you know, cars, NYPD cars or any type of cop car driving, you know, on the street patrolling, I was really worried about a cop car coming into the parking lot to park.
Yeah, that which is was nuts.
But, you know, there's a whole big story about that too. World Star wanted to post it, but they ended up not posting it because the whole situation that happened. But it was a pretty crazy thing. I almost had a heart attack.
That's nuts, dude. So I would imagine you got away clean from that then.
I did. And I don't know. It was just, I've never seen anyone ride over a cop car completely and then jump back on it and 180 off. So I was like, fuck it, I'll give it a shot. And it's been about 2 years. I haven't had one cop at my doors yet.
Edit that. Edit that out. You're knocking yourself out.
Dude, I feel like the statute of limitations on that is well beyond, you know, well past that.
Oh, dude, I've even showed a cop himself.
No, I'm like, playing.
I've showed a cop personally, and he was like, "What? That is shit." And we got me. Shout out to my friend Jersey Drew. Excellent human, such a good person. And Luke Pedals. Shout out to Luke Pedals. Part of Animal too, great dude. We did a photo shoot with the cops, like riding, doing bar spins and tail whips right next to the car. Pretty sick,
dude. That's incredible. I love it.
And I, to be honest, I thought he was gonna report it right away, but he actually followed me. He was cool with it. He's cool. He thought it was the sickest thing ever.
Oh, man, that's wild. Dude, that's so cool to hear about. I love that. Anyways.
But yeah, it was a big risk. Big risk at the time.
Yeah. So, Ralph, there's actually some footage on, you know, Martin's Instagram here. And this stuff is sick. I love whenever I get to see you ride, especially just like any kind of owner of a brand. I really do think it kind of proves that it's a rider-owned company, right? Like, it's something that I love about Cult is that Robbo still rides and he still, you know, posts stuff on the Cult Instagram once in a while. And I think that you do a good job of being able to get out there and ride as well. But yeah, these clips are incredible, man. These are from New Jersey in 2018. What were the spots like in Jersey? Obviously, you know, you've kind of been in that area for pretty much your whole life, correct?
Yeah, no, in North Jersey, is the best, you know. It's right outside New York City, so we always rode both, but it's got everything, you know. It's got all kinds of different cities, and it's got all kinds of different downtowns, and it's got all kinds of different architecture, and, you know, cities that haven't been touched, and, you know, untouched cities, and new cities with all new stuff, and, you know, crazy industrial parks, and it's so endless. It's, you know, the spots are you know, all over the place. It's like a tic-tac-toe going down every few blocks of multiple spots all over the place, and it's definitely it's unlimited. You know, I could really, I mean, I love riding all over the place, but I could ride either, you know, Jersey or New York every day and be happy and not have to go anywhere else ever for sure.
Jersey's great, man. It's amazing.
Yeah, what's your experience in Jersey like, Martin? I'm assuming that, you know, you've got tons of clips and spots just kind of from there.
Well, I grew up in Jersey. So I just moved to the city 10 years ago. My whole life I lived in Jersey. I grew up riding in Jersey every single day. And I lived in a town called Kearney next to Newark. So I basically had the PATH train. I would always sneak to the city, sneak to take the PATH to Jersey City, Hoboken. And I basically, my whole life growing up, I grew up riding Kearney, North Arlington, Lyndhurst, Rutherford, East Rutherford, Newark, East Newark, Jersey City, Hoboken, Manhattan. Pretty much I was all over the place as a kid.
So what ended up kind of being the deciding factor to moving to New York then?
Well, actually, the reason why I live in New York now is because my dad, he got a job as a superintendent of a building in Manhattan.
Right.
So I ended up moving with him here just because where I grew up in Jersey is just, you know, it's not a good life for the long term. So
right.
I decided to get away and continue riding my bike, continue on a good path. And basically I have so much love for BMX that I needed to get away from the negative stuff to continue riding my bike.
I love it, man. And I think that was definitely one of the most important moves that you've made in your entire life, right? Like being able to continue riding and whatnot is such an important part of, you know, any rider's life.
To me, for sure, leaving where I grew up in Jersey is a huge reason why I still ride my bike. I'm pretty sure if I never left that town, I would have stopped riding, whole different lifestyle, but I knew that I loved riding so much that I wanted to protect myself to continue riding because, you know, my love for riding is beyond. So I knew that I needed to protect myself from that negativity.
Absolutely, man. Anyways, you know, there was another clip here that I really wanted to show, and it's the bedroom wall fakie. I'm assuming you would already know what clip this was. I don't know why, but this really made me laugh. But yeah, I love that one.
Oh, dude. But that one was actually the night before I left to Florida. I was drinking some wine that night, and it was pouring rain, and I really wanted to ride that whole day. And I had an option of either riding my basement, riding in the rain, or in my room. And I was so chilling in my room, so I was like, you know what, screw it. I rearranged my room, so I have, you know, more room in my room now, and I was like, screw it, I'm just going to have a session in my room and just wall ride it. I did a couple other things, but I didn't post it.
I love that, man. That's that is so sick.
I feel like I was saying, dude, I literally, anything that's in front of me that I know that I can ride respectfully, I will ride it. The whole entire world is a spot.
Yeah, Martin's at the sickest spot in the sick building. In a sick location with sick spots on every block.
This is so dope, man. Anyway,
I don't know. The thing is, when it's raining and you can't ride, and you have a nice bed that's low, that's like a foam pit, you know, and you have a nice flat wall and you have enough space, why not throw a session?
Oh, dude, no excuses, eh? I love it.
That's it right there. Whatever it takes, keep pedaling.
Oh, man. So, Martin, to kind of go back in time here a little bit, for years you actually ran a blog called The Shift, and I feel like that's kind of where the shift life started. Anyways, you know, when you were doing this, you would basically just go out and film stuff with all your homies and then upload it from there. So what did you really enjoy about doing this? Because at this point, I don't think vlogging or anything was a really big deal. And obviously you weren't a vlogger or anything. You were always posting like consistent, good content. And there was even some YouTube videos on a channel that you had running for a little while as well, where it was all just like street riding with awesome music, obviously very influenced by Animal, you know?
Yeah, definitely. The thing, to be honest with you, is that whole Blogspot, the ShiftLife Blogspot website, it was never ran by me.
Oh, really?
It was actually ran by one of my good friends, Ralphie Rodriguez, and he was the main dude that ran the whole operation of the ShiftLife in the beginning. And then he just ended up, you know, changing it, you know, life kicks in. He ended up not riding for a little while, and he ended up giving me the ShiftLife name to myself, and I popped it off from there. But from the beginning of time, it was not me running the show of the ShiftLife. It was Ralphie Rodriguez.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't put that together, because I should have figured that one out. But that's still really sick, man. Like, honestly, I think you've played a huge role in that, of course. So how long did you guys do that for?
The ShiftLife started in 2011, and shortly after that, Ralphie, you know, he just gave up on it, and he knew that I had a huge passion for BMX, so he couldn't think of anyone else to give it to but me. So I took the ShiftLife name and the whole Blogspot, and shortly after that, Instagram came out, and that's when I made the Instagram account, and I'm here today.
Hell yeah, man. I definitely think Instagram has played a huge role in, you know, a lot of people finding out about you, and dude, it's just because, again, your Instagram is so rad. You're so good at it.
I must say, though, a huge special thanks to Rafi Rodriguez, a.k.a. Spanky, for starting the whole ShiftLife motion.
Definitely.
He's the godfather of the ShiftLife.
Yeah, absolutely, man. He definitely, played a huge role in that and just kind of starting it. And it's funny that, like, sometimes that's how things go, right? Somebody else just can't continue it, so you take it on and, you know, I think with your input and the way that you kind of took things, it really, I don't know, man, your Instagram has really popped off, which is sick.
I just try my best, and I try to keep the name ShiftLife rolling. I just try to keep it in life, you know, and I don't want it to die down. I want to keep something going that we started as kids and just see how far we can go with it.
Fuck yeah, man. That's so sick. Anyways, you know, to kind of jump over to some other things here with the ShiftLife, I know that you guys had a camera stolen at some point, and obviously that's a huge loss. What ended up happening there, and did you guys ever replace the camera, or was Instagram kind of just taken over at that point?
What, the camera?
Yeah, there was a camera that was stolen like 7 years ago, and I don't know if you guys ever did anything with it or not.
Well, actually, with the deal with that was Spanky was filming me in Harlem on 121st Street and I think Lenox Ave or one of those avenues. And I'm trying to do some trick, and there's some guys playing chess, and I guess they must have gotten, this one guy got really mad that Spanky was filming, and he ended up getting up and cursing at us and attacking, and we straight got into a huge fight. The footage is still on Instagram somewhere, and we ended up saving the camera.
Damn.
But then there's another time that our camera got stolen in Argentina, so there's two times.
Damn, that is wild, man. Actually, since we kind of mentioned Argentina there, I did want to mention that in 2016, you actually did a jam there, and it was wild, dude. And just to kind of see...
I was there with DeLucky.
Yeah, dude. The scene there looks alive and well. Everybody was shredding, man. It was crazy. So when did you first go there? And obviously, I believe you came back to host the jam, and what kind of led you to really wanting to go down there and hosting a jam for everybody?
Well, I'm originally Argentinian, so
right.
I have family in Mendoza. So I went out there and I met a couple riders. And then I met this one guy from this one city. And he invited me to his house. I got to know the area. And I was like, you know what? Let me ask Ralph if he wants to do an event in Argentina. I asked him. He was down. And it happened to be that DeLucky was traveling to Argentina at the same time. So it was like a pretty good thing that was happening. So we all agreed to it. And it worked out perfect.
Dude, that is wild. Yeah, man.
It couldn't have worked out any better. Honestly, the only way it could have worked out better is if Ralph was there and we were hanging out. If he was there, it would have been amazing.
Perfect, yeah, perfect trip, eh?
It looked like I wish I was there.
It's literally every time I go somewhere and there's like, no matter what, and I'm riding, I'm like, shit, man, I wish Ralph was here, dude. It'd be such a sick session.
Yeah, that's sick, man. I'm really stoked for you guys. Obviously, you know, riding and whatnot is going to be awesome this year. And I hope you guys are able to do some trips and whatnot.
Definitely, dude. I'm always out there, no matter what. Even if World War III is happening in New York as we speak, I'm going out there to get a clip.
Fuck yeah, dude. The Shift Life will always be out there looking for some crusty ledge or a rusty rail, and he'll be stoked.
Like I said, if World War III was happening and I seen a blown up tank, a quick wall ride to fakie, half cat bar, we're gonna insta clip.
I love it. You're like gonna tire ride the cannon part of it?
A tire ride to 180 bar off the cannon.
Sure. Oh man,
I love it. And then I'll hit a bump jump whip off a helmet.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Oh man.
He ain't lying either. Even if the world ends and he's the last person, he'll be out there crushing the rubble for sure.
Definitely. Anyways, well, let's take it back to a couple more questions for you, Ralphie, and then we'll go from there. So, something I really wanted to talk about, if you're cool with this, is Scavenger. So back in 2010, we got the news that Edwin, Vinny, and yourself had formed a three-way partnership, and we're starting a new company called Scavenger. Scavenger would be releasing frames, forks, and bars to start. And I know that you kind of let them take the ropes on this, and you were more of an investor than anything. But, you know, how did everything kind of work out at the beginning? Obviously, really high hopes for the company. And honestly, man, the frames that you guys came out with at first were sick. I know a buddy who had one, and he rode that thing for years, dude. And again, it's another product that is so sought after these days, I think.
It's iconic, man. I still have mine till this day hanging up on my wall.
Absolutely, man.
It's the Vinny one, too. Shout out to Vinny.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, no, Scavenger, it was like an evolution off an animal to, you know, to be more of a frame and bike company. And it was, you know, on a similar vibe and the same people involved and really all the same business operations involved, and but definitely Vinny and Ed as the heads of it, and you know, the look of it and everything else. And you know, we did the time frames too, which were off the hook, and we did some really good stuff. I think it was you know, things just were taking forever at the time. We had, you know, we put out a super sick bid, and it was years till we got the frames out, and we kind of just, things were not happening how we planned either way to keep it growing into more of a, you know, we had a plan to do it into frames and then even into completes at the time, and then everything just took a step backwards when everything took a step backwards with Animal. And you know, we still keep it going on some levels, but we haven't, you know, done anything with frames or anything. You know, there was a little clothes made here and there, but you know, it's still an iconic brand, and it's it's still out there, and you know, Vinny and Ed are still doing their thing, and they still crush it when they get on the bike, and they're you know, the best of the best, legend status, both of them, and it's it is it's some of amazing frames that we did have, and you know, it's still there, and we're you know, we just haven't done anything with it either way, and but it's still a great brand, and it's just what it is, you know, it's just that scavenger, it's the whole vibe, and you know, grimy style, a little more than animal, but still real deal riding at the same time, and you know, it was just something super dope in its own right, for sure, that'll be something that is timeless, that people will be talking about and everything for a long time either way.
Absolutely, man. And I think that it definitely played an important role when it was around. And again, it is such an iconic brand. And from everybody who had, you know, a scavenger frame or scavenger parts, they all know just how iconic and how great the brand was. And it's unfortunate that the timing kind of played a role in how everything kind of came about with them, you know? But yeah, definitely, like, props to you guys for trying to do your own thing. And yeah, it's unfortunate that Scavenger hasn't really been, you know, as prominent as it was. But yeah, man, I think it's just rad to even have something like that at some point, you know?
Yeah, no, and you know, frames are definitely a little more of a different type of business than a parts company too, in general, and it's you know, the designs that we did have with these frames were, you know, things have definitely evolved a bit, but we had you know, some really great riding bikes with these frames, you know, all decked out with animal parts was super hot setup for sure.
Definitely, man. And I feel like that was almost like the perfect combination at that point, right? Everything worked out so well.
Yeah, no, it was definitely the you know, that time period. I mean, the whole time period from when things started, but it was you know, a lot of things that fell into place, and a lot of great stuff happened on all kinds of levels, from the riding to all the stuff with the brand, and it was what you know, set a precedence for the time, and you know, still is on all the levels with the riding and everything else. So it is just a lot of timeless classical stuff that's happened from the beginning and still going with these guys.
Definitely, man. We're getting close to 2 hours at this point. And first of all, I just want to say thank you guys so much for joining me today. I really, really appreciate it. And it was really sick getting to kind of hear about the East Coast style and whatnot. And we have a few fan questions, and then I think we'll do kind of the last one after that, if you guys are cool with that.
No, thank you again for doing it. And yeah, this was good to hang out and talk about all this stuff, and be on it with Martin too is an honor to me. So I'm happy that
totally Roar went there. Totally an honor to me too.
Absolutely, boys. So yeah, we'll do a couple fan questions here. This one comes in from a listener, and he's asking who your favorite New Jersey rider is.
My favorite rider of New Jersey is for sure Ralph Senesi.
I love it. That's awesome.
He's being nice because I'm on the call. If I wasn't on the call,
nah, it's just he definitely is for so many reasons.
Yeah, that's so sick, man. Why don't you flatter Ralph for a minute here? Let us know what makes Ralph's riding so, like, you know, unique to you that you love about it.
Every single thing he does when he rides his bike, bump jump this, everything. He's just a master. To me, he's a master. The master of the streets.
That is so sick, man. That's rad.
You know, it's like, you know, like when you see those those Japanese or those Asian guys in those Asian movies, and you see the master of all the guys. That's Ralph.
That's a good way to put it. I love it.
He's like, yeah, he's the boss.
I like the sound of that master of the street, but I'll tell you, I wish I could claim it, but you know, you and these other guys that rep are definitely got the moves mastered that I'm not even you know, they ain't working for me. I'll tell you that. You guys are the masters.
Dude, so good. So, Ralph, for yourself, who's your favorite New Jersey rider?
I'm going to tell you
that. He definitely can't say me because I said him.
That is so difficult. Yeah, and I'll tell you, I would say Martin, but since he moved, now he's my favorite NYC, so he's no, Martin for sure. And I mean, we got two of the best new style crazy guys that are really repping and carrying on the brand in Jersey, with George and Harrison, with George Duran and Harrison Akari, that are two of the best you know, at doing what, you know, taking what we've been doing to all the next levels. So I'm gonna say them as the new, you know, the new guys that are repping for sure. But if, you know, to say the favorite forever out of here would be just too difficult, because, you know, there's been dozens and dozens of the best, and Joe Tizio too, probably the best ever out of Jersey. And you know, all the first guys that came up with the company with Bob and George, and you know, the whole first crew that started, you know, it's the best of the best, and Jersey's got tons to rep on the top level for sure.
Absolutely, man. Jersey and just the East Coast in general has produced some incredible riding over the years. And a listener actually sent in this question, which I really like. So we always hear about how awesome the West Coast is for BMX. Tell us what the East Coast has that's so much better than the West Coast, if you don't mind.
I'll tell you what, I love so many of these guys on the level they're riding on the West Coast for sure. And you know, we got crazy crew out there too, with these guys that are crushing it. And, you know, but I think maybe it's the seasons over here, because people, you know, we go crazy in the winter wanting to get out. I mean, you got it even worse up there, really, with Ontario. But, you know, I think it is a seasonal thing too, where we, oh shit, it's warm out, let's go out and get crazy. Finally, you know, we've been cooped up, we're ready to get out, type of thing, which I think gives it, you know, makes it something with it. And, you know, it is, though, it is a lot of different landscape. There's a lot of older sections and different architectures and you know, spots on spots all over. So there's differences, but, you know, it's, these guys are crushing it on the West Coast too, and we got the best heads repping over there too. So it's you know, but I love it here, and like I said, I'd be happy to ride over here every day and not go anywhere. So,
fuck yeah, man! I love that. That's pretty sick. Martin, for yourself, have you ever been out to the West Coast?
Never, ever. I'd love to, but I've been invited, but just never had a chance to go.
Dude, I'd love to see you go and do like a pegs to fakie on like one of the lockers at El Toro, and then half cab bar into the stair set. Like, that's the perfect shift life clip in the West Coast.
Totally, totally. Dude, if I can magically appear in Cali for free, you know, I would totally do that.
I love it, man. That would be so sick.
Yeah. or if even Cali was, you know, just a train ride away, I would go there right now.
I think we can make it happen. I know Z and DeMarcus and Augie and all these guys will be hyped to get you out there.
DeMarcus he's a good friend of mine.
Dude, DeMarcus is so wild.
Oh yeah, he's something else. I've brought him a couple of times when Volume came out to the city. We linked up and we rode, and yeah, he's on another level.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I don't know if we mentioned that, but yeah, Martin is sponsored by Volume, and you have been for quite a while, which is pretty dope, man.
That's another thing that I never thought in my life that would happen, but I'm super honored to be part of them too.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's honestly such a great place for you, I think. You know, it's good to see.
It's honestly it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. I love it.
Fuck yeah, man. That's so sick.
And not only that, all the dudes on Volume are excellent.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just great all around.
Yeah, dude, it's wild to see, right? Volume has they've gone through quite the team change over the years, but I think right now they've got a pretty good team, which is sick.
Yeah, definitely. One of the good guys too, Bill Perry.
Yeah.
He's a good friend of mine too. He's a shredder for sure.
Dude, Billy is next level, especially with everything that he's done within YouTube and whatnot. I feel like that's kind of the way that things with BMX are going in like a certain instance, right? Obviously, you're still going to have these dudes who love video parts and love that kind of thing. But, dude, even just doing YouTube vlogs and whatnot, it's such a great way to just get out and ride every day, which is so important for a lot of people, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely,
but you definitely have to be dedicated to that type of lifestyle to, you know, to keep it up.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work. It's I'm really inspired by these dudes that are doing it because it, you know, as often as I do hear people saying that stuff is kind of lame in its own way, I really appreciate it only because I know how much work goes into it. You know, you got to be dedicated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyways, we got a question here from Harrison. He's asking, does he ever chill out? And I feel like he's probably talking
Harrison
about...
Harrison who? Harrison who? Is it Harrison Akari?
It is, Harrison Akari.
Oh my god, yeah, I know exactly who that is personally.
That's so sick. Yeah, he's asking, does he ever chill out?
Oh my god.
He has no chill.
Dude. If he's asking me if I can ever chill out, that kid has no chill.
That's incredible.
And that's exactly who Ralph was just talking about. That he was saying that his favorite Jersey riders are upcoming George and Harrison. That's Harrison Akari right there.
That's so sick, man. Yeah, that's
funny.
That's wicked. He sent in another one as well, and it says, why he bug out all the time?
Yeah, that's because Harry's on his phone 24/7, and he's bugging out on his phone. He's a bug out. He's a bug out. Harry's a bug out, a new age bug out.
Oh, man, I fucking love it.
He's a madman too. These guys are.
But I'm not gonna lie. Like Ralph said, he's a madman. He's crazy. He's dialed. He's hilarious. And yeah, I can't say anything negative about Harry. He's a good dude.
That's awesome, man. I love it. We got one last fan question here from a close friend of mine, Kyle Mantha. He is asking, I love the foursome bars. They feel so different compared to other brands. What led you guys to doing that geometry and the design of them?
That's definitely on Ralph.
Well, we made the Bob bars, which were the small version that we, you know, that was Bob's signature thing from riding the GT4 piece bars, which he grew up on and loved them. He had like, you know, 30 pairs of them, and you know, that was his signature product. and then the you know, then we made, as they, the size of them got outdated, we made bigger sizes, which the foursome shape is a little different than the, you know, it's a little more curved, I think, than the AM bar, which is the bigger one. That's like I don't even remember the size, but you know, they're all like nine and a half, something like that. So, but they have a great feel, and they have a, you know, some back sweep to them, which I think helps, back sweep and up sweep. So they feel good, and I like the way four piece feel myself. You know, I always rode four piece even before that. You know, back in the day with the that type of bar, GTs and standards and basic bars and Harrow knee savers, and I always liked that design, keeping the bars that kind of out of the way from hitting your knees and stuff too a little bit. So, but yeah, they're fantastic. The way they feel is great.
Yeah, absolutely, man. There's quite a few people in this area that actually do ride those bars as well.
Yeah, no, they're it's tough to go back to two-piece. I feel like if you ride those, you know, especially the foursome with the how smooth they are and the bigger sizes, it's tough to go back to two-piece that your wrists hurt after you get used to how good the with the upsweep and everything on the four-piece is.
Yeah, absolutely. That was something that he mentioned just in general, was that they feel so good and so different from every bar, and it took him a while to get used to them, but he does really, really like them.
Yeah, no, they're I ride the ones that are a little smaller, the AMs, but they're, you know, they're real similar. I think they're like, you know, 9 1/4 or something, but yeah, it's a different kind of control, I think. The way it feels with the four piece over the two piece, either way, being a little more over the front end, even maybe, or something feels different. That it's tough to switch back and forth. The bars really set the bike apart how it feels.
Absolutely, man. The bars are like some of the most important part of your bike, right? Like, I always feel like bars, top tooth length, and chainstay. And even just like, you know, the pitch of your fork and where your offset is set is those are all like huge factors in how your bike is going to feel.
Definitely. Yeah. Any one of them can make the whole thing feel like a different bike.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Anyways, guys, this has been incredible. I've got one last question for you before we go. Where do each of you see the future of BMX going, and will we always still have riders with that unique East Coast style?
I'll let Ralph go first on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, it's its own thing that's kind of going to just keep doing its own thing, and it's going to, you know, it's going to evolve a little bit here and there, and the tricks are going to get even crazier, and you know, somehow everything still evolves no matter how crazy the level is. But you know, all in all, I think it's going to just, you know, it's still going to be a similar thing. It's going to be something you could go out and go riding with your friends and have fun and be searching and exploring and, you know, living and seeing the world on a bike in general, being out and just getting all the energy from everything that's going on, especially being in the cities or something. You know, I think it'll always be there, and I think it'll always be the same on some level that, you know, is a really basic fun thing that humans are going to enjoy either way. So I think it'll be, you know, it'll change, but it'll be the same either way.
Absolutely, man.
To be honest, exactly what Ralph said is how I feel myself.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's always going to be that type of way.
Yeah, I think BMX, no matter how it changes over the years with people riding and their styles and whatnot, I think it all kind of comes back to those simple moments and that simplicity of just like riding down the street with your friends, you know? And that is such a big thing with the East Coast culture, I think, especially in New York, is literally like, think about how many videos there are online of just people like biking through traffic in New York, right? That is like one of those best feelings. And that's something that I think most riders even just want to feel, right? Like, I know I've ridden in the streets of Toronto, like, but it's nothing similar to that.
It's like even like with skateboarding, you know, even back in the day when skating first started, is like all the guys got together and just had fun skating down hills or whatever they did. And it's still like that to this day. People get together and they have fun skating spots, searching. And it's, I don't know, it's just, that lifestyle will always be the same, in my opinion.
Absolutely, man. I think you guys both make a really good point. The lifestyle will kind of always be there, right? And it'll always be for the same reasons.
Yeah, especially if you're, you know, you're just out there doing your thing. It's always going to be the same thing.
Definitely. Boys, this has been incredible. Thank you guys so much for doing the show today. This is honestly a lot of fun, and I was really looking forward to sitting down with both of you. This is definitely a big moment for me, so thank you guys so much.
Anytime. To be here with you and Ralph is an honor. To be on something with Ralph, anything with Ralph, is an honor.
No doubt. I'm happy to do this, and it was thanks for doing the cool stuff like this that you're doing, and super happy to be doing it with Martin too. And I you know, it's definitely good things with the BMX world, with wanting to know about stuff going with people that are, you know, outside of just the riding and hearing about it. So that's definitely happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And before we go, I always ask, you know, if you guys have got any shout outs you want to make, any thanks that you want to give to anybody, yeah, you guys can go ahead and do that now.
I would like to thank everyone that's ever helped me film my Insta jibs or any footage in general. I would like to thank Ralphie Rodriguez, Jay Tavares, my number one supporter, Ralph. I would like to thank Ralph more than anyone, because if it wasn't for him believing in me, I would not have what I have. So,
a huge special thanks to Ralph for
what I have. He'd be crushing it no matter what, but no doubt I appreciate you thanking me either way, for sure.
And my family, my parents, both my parents, for being a huge sponsor, you know, throughout my whole life.
Fuck yeah,
man. Believing in me.
Yeah, Martin's parents are super chill, for sure. Great people.
I love it, man.
And also, I'm sorry, but a quick shout out to my best friend, Benny Lissicerani, for being there for every single Insta clip that I've ever filmed. So I have to put him out there. Benny.
Hell yeah.
That's fucking awesome, man. That's so sick.
Ralph knows Benny too. He's a good dude.
That's dope, man. I love it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I want to, you know, the people are too numerous to thank with everybody that's involved. I don't even want to start naming names, but I do want to give a quick shout out, because we were talking about, you know, Hoder Silva with Peglis, and I was going to say something about Hoder. So he's, you know, shout out to Hoder, superhuman individual who, you know, another Peglis pioneer and on all levels. And then I just wanted to, I might even mention him, I'm so shocked, but shout out for the Jersey riding to to Joe Tizio because he's the you know, the ultimate legend from Jersey, forever either way, who we dearly miss too. So want to give him a shout on the end to close it out too. And you know, it really really endless Jeremy Barczyk too, another Jersey rider who was the best of the best that we missed. So just wanted to give them a shout too.
So many people that, you know, it's just endless that are just so positive and inspiring that it's hard to name everyone.
Absolutely, man. I think honestly the whole scene and the, you know, everybody that has been involved with BMX, especially in the East Coast, deserves a giant shout out, especially people who you know, have bought animal products over the years, supported your endeavors, and you know, everybody who's commented on your stuff, I want to give a shout out to them because that's rad, man. I love what you guys are doing, and I think you guys have both played a very super important role in BMX.
Well, one thing for sure, Animal Bikes for Life. That's
one
thing.
The best customers that are the biggest fans, you know, they rip the brand so hardcore, and so many of them have been doing it for the long term. So I definitely want to give a shout out to all of them.
Hell yeah, man. Anyways, I think we're going to end it off here. If you guys just want to stay on the line for 2 minutes here while I end this off, that would be sick. But yeah, anyways, thank you guys for watching or listening today. This has been super rad. And next week, we'll be back with another episode of the Goat Cave. Until then, peace.